We're doing Megillah. We're up to Daf Hey Amud Aleph. We had listed in the Mishnah a number of things that when they fall out on Shabbos, we delay them. We do not make them earlier on Friday. We delay them to Sunday. And one of those things was Tisha B'Av. So now the Gemara is going to query why. Gemara asks, Tisha B'Av, why is it that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we move over Tisha B'Av to Sunday, and we don't make it on Friday? Answers the Gemara, Akdume Puranut lo makdime. We don't make something bad early. Bad enough we have to do it as it is. We don't bring it any earlier than we have to. Chagiga v'akel, we said in the Mishnah, that the Chagiga sacrifice, or Hakel, the gathering of the Jews, for the king to read before them on Sukkot, once every 7 years. So if that falls out on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. Why? Mishum da'akati lomata zman chiyuvayu. Because the time of their obligation hasn't yet come. So you cannot bring a Chagiga, a sacrifice celebrating the holiday, if the holiday hasn't come yet. You can't do it on Friday. The holiday is only coming in on Shabbos. You can't do a hakel before the day that we're obligated to do hakel, so you can't do it any earlier. Tana, the Braisa says, Chagiga v'chod zman chagiga me'achrin. Chagiga, and the whole period of chagiga we delay. That's the end of the quote from the Braisa. Now the Gemara asks, Bishlema chagiga. What does Bishlema mean?
It's a piece with his opinion, but another opinion is coming that's going to...
Not necessarily another opinion, but this works well. This is at peace. Bishlema chagiga. That which we said the chagiga is delayed if it falls out on Shabbos. That's at peace. That works well. Dimikla b'shabata mechinan al batal shabata. That if it comes out on Shabbos, we delay it after Shabbos. Elazman chagiga mayhi. But what does the Braisa mean when the Braisa says the chagiga and the period of chagiga get delayed? What does it mean, the period of chagiga? I understand the chagiga sacrifice. If the holiday falls out on a Shabbos, we delay the holiday sacrifice. What does it mean, the period of the chagiga is delayed? Amar Rav Hoshaya, Hachi Kama. What does Hachi Kama mean?
So it
should have said, or show it, so it could say.
I don't know. What
does
the
Kupa
as a prefix
do? You guys don't have notes from last week?
It doesn't mean so, it's just so it should have said, or so we could have read it this other way. So he really said there's another version or something like this.
Hachi, this, kamar is what it means to say. And we said that whenever the Gemara says Hachi kamar, it's a miniature chesuri mechzera. It's almost like adding in new words to the Mishnah. Remember now? Adam, you remember?
No.
We said Hachi kamar, whenever we have a Hachi kamar, the Gemara is saying this is what it meant to say, but the Gemara is telling us something which is almost on the verge of adding words to the Braisa. Hachi kamar, this is what it meant to say, but the explanation is going to be pretty distant from the simple reading of the words. If the Gemara has to, the Gemara says, Chisuri mechzera, it's really missing something, v'hachi ketanyin, this is what it should say. Sometimes the Gemara says, I could fit this into the words, it's a little bit of a stretch. So Hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Imagine that it said another few words, but the Gemara isn't really adding those words. So Amar Rav Hoshaya, Hachi kamar, this is what the Braisa means to say. Chagiga b'Shabbat, when the Chagiga falls out on Shabbos. And there's a special sacrifice called an Olat Riyam, that we have a mitzvah on Yom Tov to bring a sacrifice in honor of the fact that we're seen by God. We're coming up to the temple. We have a special sacrifice. The Torah says, "V'lo yeira'u fanai reikam." They shouldn't see my face empty-handed. So Chazal say, what does that mean? There's a special sacrifice we bring when we merit to go up to the temple on the holiday, on the regal. So the Gemara says, the Chagiga on Shabbos and the Olas Re'iya, even on Yom Tov, those two get delayed. Guys, give me 1 second, sorry. So let's look back at the Braisa for a second. The Braisa said, Chagiga, v'chol zman Chagiga me'achrin. The Chagiga, and all the period of the Chagiga we delay. So the Chagiga we delay, we understand, when the first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, so the Chagiga sacrifice gets delayed. Kol zman Chagiga me'achrin, and the whole period of the Chagiga we would delay, that's the idea that there's a special sacrifice called an Olas Re'iya, a sacrifice that gets completely burnt, and it's brought in honor of the fact that we're seen at the temple. So that is delayed throughout the period of the Chagiga, meaning throughout Yom Tov. You don't bring it on Yom Tov itself even. You don't bring it on the first day of Yom Tov. You don't bring it on the holiday. You bring it on Chol HaMoed, the Olas Re'iya. So that's how the Gemara is explaining that braisa. Does that make sense to you, Adam? You got it? Yeah?
So Chagiga refers to the actual
sacrifice. Zman Chagiga is the whole period of the holiday,
which is this burnt offering that isn't given on Yom Tov, it's given on Chol HaMoed.
Exactly. Yeah, clear?
So the time of the Chagiga is the holiday?
Correct. Including Chol HaMoed. So the first word of the Mishnah refers to the Chagiga sacrifice. And the time of the Chagiga refers to a time period, and it's referring to a different sacrifice, the Ola, the burnt, completely burnt sacrifice. Clear? Okay. So the Gemara says, "Dizman Chagiga me'achrin mani." This opinion that says that throughout the period of the Chagiga, meaning throughout the Yom Tov, we would delay the Ola sacrifice, who is of that opinion? Mani, you guys should write that, you should know that. Mani means, who is he? Who is it that has that opinion? Now we're going to quote a Mishnah, which you guys should remember, because we learned this Mishnah last week in Beitza. This is a Mishnah we learned in our Mishnahis last week. Answers the Gemara, Beis Shammai. This is the opinion of the Academy of Shammai. Ditnan, Tnan always means Mishnah. Ditnan, for we learned in the Mishnah. Bet Shammai Omrim, the Academy of Shammai say, Mevi'in Shlamim beYom Tov. One may bring a Shlamim sacrifice on Yom Tov. Technically, we are allowed to do work on Yom Tov for the sake of our own food, the Torah says. So I'm allowed to roast steak for myself on Yom Tov, that's not a problem. But what happens with the Shlamim sacrifice? I'm roasting steak for me and the Kohen, that's okay. And part of it is for God. But for God, who said I'm allowed to roast steak on Yom Tov? Who said I'm allowed to burn a sacrifice on Yom Tov that I'm not eating from? Meaning what I eat, I'm allowed to roast. So the Shammai say, no, we all agree. And the Gemara in Beit explains the derivations for this. So they Shammai say, we agree, Mevin Shlamim beYom Tov, that one may bring a Shlamim sacrifice on the holiday itself. But, say Beis Shammai, Ve'en Somechin Aleihem, but we do not do Smicha. You remember Smicha is where you put your weight on the animal. So Beis Shammai are of the opinion that one may do Smicha half a day early. So they say, do it before Yom Tov. Good for you. Enjoy. So Beis Shammai say we bring it, but we don't do smicha. And the law, but we would not permit a person to bring an ola sacrifice. They say you could burn things for yourself, but a sacrifice that's completely burnt for heaven, that you don't do on Yom Tov. So now, what does that mean? It means that even though the Torah says, in honor of the fact that you're coming before me on the holiday of Pesach, on Sukkot, even though the Torah says in honor of the fact that you're coming on the holiday, bring an Ola sacrifice. The Shammai say, yeah, but don't bring it on the holiday itself. Bring it on Chol HaMoed. So we asked, whose opinion is it that says that you delay the sacrifice throughout the period of the holiday? You don't bring it on the first day of the holiday because that's the Yom Tov itself. That's Beis Shammai. And here we see Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai say, don't bring the Ola on Yom Tov itself. Bring it on Chol HaMoed. Clear? Beis Hillel Omrim, but Beis Hillel disagree. They say, Mevin Shelamim Ve'olot, on Yom Tov we may bring a Shlamim, we may also bring an Ola, V'somechin Aleihem, and we do smicha on Yom Tov. They derive a different derivation from the same verse, and they say one may bring a sacrifice like this on Yom Tov. Still here, we're all together?
Each part of proof from the same exact verse?
Correct. The verse says you may burn things for yourself. The question is, what's the verse coming to exclude? Does it mean for yourself to the exclusion of God? That's the explanation of Beis Shammai. Or does it mean for yourself and not for non-Jews? For non-Jews, you're not allowed to burn things on Yom Tov. That's Beis Hillel's explanation. We go like Beis Hillel. That's why we mentioned yesterday in Shir that to have non-Jews over for a Yom Tov meal where you're going to be burning a fire for them is problematic, because Beis Hillel say, the Torah clearly says, you may burn a fire for your food. To the exclusion of what? To the exclusion, according to Beis Shammai, the exclusion of God's food, the exclusion of sacrifices. But we don't rule like Beis Shammai, we rule like Beis Hillel. We say that when the Torah says, for your food, it's to the exclusion of someone who's not Jewish. For them, prepare the food before Yom Tov, prepare it after Yom Tov, but not on Yom Tov. So that's what Beis Hillel do with that same pasuk. But that's a Gemara and Beitza, it's not here. Okay, back to our Gemara. So, what do we have here? We brought Beit Shammai's opinion, and we also said that the Braisa we quoted earlier is going with whose opinion?
Braisa Beit Shammai.
Why is it Beit Shammai? You're right. Just let's explain that. Why is that Braisa Beit Shammai's opinion?
Zman Chagiga, why do we have a Zman Chagiga? Because we can't bring the Ole offering on Yom Tov.
Right. So Zman Chagiga means the Ole you don't bring on Yom Tov, you bring it throughout the period of the holiday. That's Beis Shammai's opinion. You have to know that the Gemara tries avoiding making a Braisa into Beis Shammai, because we don't rule like Beis Shammai. The second you say this Braisa is Beis Shammai's opinion, you basically nix the Braisa. Now the Braisa doesn't have too much relevance in Halacha. So the Gemara doesn't like doing that. The Gemara tries to figure out another understanding of the Braisa. The Gemara said that here, what the Gemara basically said is that Braisa doesn't have too much relevance to us in Halacha. Just remember that. We don't rule like Beis Shammai. The Gemara uses a term, Beis Shammai. Dinkom Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah. When you have Beis Shammai's opinion and there's Beis Hillel there, that's not really a Mishnah, even what Beis Shammai said. That's not Allah. Okay, back to our Gemara. Rava Omar, Rava says. You guys notice that it says Rava Omar and not Omar Rava? So what does that tell us?
It's going to be a differing opinion.
Differing with whom?
Rav Ashaya.
Right. So Rav Hoshaya explained the Braisa one way. Along comes Rava and says, Rava says, that's an indication, but Rava disagrees. He's not going to agree with Rav Hoshaya. Now that we know that, that gives us a very good clue when we learn the Talmud. You see? Otherwise we think this is a new sentence of Rava. No, Rava Amar, that's a clear indication he's responding. He's going to give us a different explanation than Rav Hoshaya just gave us. So again, we said when it says Omar Rabbi Ploni, it means he just said a sentence. He said a statement. When it said Rabbi Ploni Omar, it means Rabbi Ploni, but he said he's coming to differ with someone. You guys mind if I open a window? If you'll be cold, just close it. Don't even ask. Rav Amar. he's going to give a different explanation. He says, when the Braisa says, Chagiga v'chol zman chagiga me'achrin, what the Braisa means is, Chagiga, the Chagiga sacrifice, kol zman chagiga me'achrin. If you want, if you end up delaying it, you could end up bringing it late. If you didn't bring it the first day, you could bring it the second day. Not the second day, you could bring it the third day. You could delay it throughout the period of the holiday. Tfei, but more than that, lo, you may not. Titinan, for we learned in a Mishnah, right? Tnan is a Mishnah. Titinan, for we learned in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows. Someone who did not bring his Chagiga sacrifice on the first holiday of Yom Tov, meaning the first day is the holiday. He should have brought his Chagiga sacrifice. He did not. He could bring the Chagiga throughout the holiday. Even on the last day of the holiday. You might say, it's Shmini Atzeres, it's a separate holiday. We're not sitting in the Sukkah. How could you bring Sukkah's sacrifice on Shmini Atzeres? You don't shake lulav, you don't sit in the Sukkah, you don't do Nisa Chamayim. All the mitzvahs of Sukkahs aren't applicable on Shmini Atzeres. Maybe it's its own holiday. No. Throughout the holiday, even the last day. That's okay. It's still considered an adjunct to the holiday. You could bring the Chagiga sacrifice. Vafilu, avar regel velo chag, if the holiday passed and he did not bring his Chagiga sacrifice, eino chayav be'achayuto, then it's over. He doesn't have to bring it anymore, it's over. He missed his opportunity. Okay, so you want to delay the sacrifice, you can delay it as long as you want. Now, look at the words of the Braisa, and tell me whose explanation is closer to the meaning of the words in the Braisa. The Braisa begins with Tana, six lines from the top. Tana, Chagiga, the last six words of the line. Those are the words we have from the Braisa. Chagiga v'chozman Chagiga me'achrin. How did Rav Hoshaya explain that? How did Rava explain that? And which one fits closer to the words? Agreed? Yeah?
I agree.
Okay, now, remember that Rav Hoshaya began his explanation with Hachi Ka'omar. So that's a giveaway that his isn't going to fit into the words. We said, whenever you begin with Hachi Ka'omar, what you're saying is, this is what it meant to say. It didn't really say it. It almost said it. It really should have added a few more words into the Braisa, but this is what it meant to say. So right away we know that his isn't going to fit as cleanly into the Braisa. Right? Okay. So we have Rav Hoshaya. We have Rava. And now we come on to Ravashi. Ravashi and his academy, they compiled the Talmud. So he gives us another opinion. Ravashi Omar. How do you understand the Braisa? Chagiga v'chol zman chagiga me'achrin. You can delay the Chagiga if it fell out on Shabbos. You can delay the Chagiga throughout the period. Vafilu atzeret echad yom ha-mechrin. And even on Shavuos, where technically there is no Chol Moed, it's a one-day holiday. So what happens if Shavuos falls out on Shabbos? Nonetheless, you have 7 days after Shavuos to bring the sacrifice. We consider the 7 days after Shavuos as though they're a continuation of the holiday. What do you mean? I do work. I do everything like a weekday. Yeah, but that's this idea. That's what this Braisa taught me. Notice the difference. According to Rav Hoshaya, is this Braisa halacha? No, because going to Rav Hoshaya, this price is Beis Shammai's opinion.
Yes, yes.
This price is out of halacha. According to Rav, is this price halacha? Quite possibly. According to Rav Ashi, is this price halacha? Yes, it is. Rav and Rav Ashi give an explanation in the price that fits with halacha. And I'll tell you.
Only because it's not from
Beis. It's not Beis Shammai. So they gave us an explanation in the price, so we don't have any differing opinion. So that's going to be halacha. See the difference? Now, practical application. We rule like this answer of Rav Ashi. And the practical application of that is that for a week after Shavuos, we don't say Tachanun. After Shmoneh Esrei, we won't put our head down. We say, it's a holiday. So he said, what holiday is it? It's Shavuos. No, Shavuos was 2 days ago, 6 days ago. Right, it's a continuation, because if you didn't bring the sacrifice of the holiday of Shavuos, you still could bring it. So you see that the holiday aura is still here for 7 days, halachically.
Huh.
And that's why we today will not say Tachanun for the 7 days after Shavuos. That's halach and Shulchan Aruch. Because of this, because of what we just learned here.
You say Hespit or fast?
I don't remember. Sorry. Good question. Vafilu atzeret, even Shavuos dechad yoma, that it's a one-day holiday, me'achrin. We would delay the sacrifice, the Tanan, for we learned in... Right, we learned in the Mishnah, modim shimcha latzeret liot b'Shabbat. Beis Shammai admits that if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they both agree that if Shavuos fell out on Shabbos, Sheyom Tevoach, that the day that we slaughter the sacrifice is Achar HaShabbat, after Shabbos. And this brings us to the conclusion of this sugya. We have three alternate understandings in this braisa, and we said the first one makes the braisa into Beis Shammai, then the braisa has nothing to do with halacha. The next two learn the braisa as a regular braisa, and then those two appear in halacha. You guys want to continue or pause here? Yeah? Okay.
I have one quick question before we go on. All these other explanations work well. Why it's placed where it is, falls on Shabbat. But why for Hakel? Why is there more kedusha the day after Hakel than the day before?
What day do we say Hakel?
We say it. 20,
so after you answer that question, if you still have a question, well, come back to me. Okay? Amar Rabbi Elazar. Where are you going to find the answer to that? Good. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Chanina said, Rabbi Natan Nitiya Bepurim. We have a quote. Rabbi Elazar quotes Rabbi Chanina, who quotes the following historical facts. Rabbi planted a planting on Purim. Now, why does it have to say planted a planting on Purim? Because you don't always plant the planting. Meaning, sometimes you could take a tree that's been growing for 5 years, uproot it with the earth, and plant that, right? There are nitiyot, which are young saplings, and then there are etzim, which are older trees. You could be noteah in it. You could take a tree, uproot it from here, plant it there. That's also to be noteah. Natan nitiyah means he planted a planting of a young sapling on Purim. Wow, on Purim he did work. We're going to have the next omer is going to be a big discussion about the following testimonial. So first thing he testifies is, Rebbe planted a nitiyah. Nitiyah is a young plant on Purim. Verachatz bikrona shel tzipori, and he bathed on the market in the market day of Tzipori. He went to at the time when all the chariots were riding by and everyone saw, he went to take a shower. He went into the bathhouse. B'shiva asar b'tamuz, on the 17th of Tammuz. So he was making a halachic statement by doing these actions. He could have planted the day before Purim or the day after. He did these things to teach halacha. He could have bathed a day before or a day after, or at a time when no one would see. Rebbe was teaching us something. Ubikesh la'ako tisha be'av. And he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. Ve'lo du'lo. And they didn't give in. The rabbis weren't willing to let him get away with Tisha B'Av. They said, no, that we don't agree. So far so good? Okay. The only problem is that the Talmud says anyone who does not participate in mourning on Tisha B'Av will not merit to see the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And it was a higher court than Rebbe's that instituted Tisha B'Av. So how could he uproot what a higher court did? Right? Can't do that. So Tosa says two possible answers. One answer is that maybe he just wanted to take away the stringencies. We know Tisha B'Av is more stringent than the other fast days. So he says maybe the idea is that Rebbe just wanted to take away some of the stringencies of Tisha B'Av. The other answer is that there's a discussion in the Talmud why they made it on the 9th. The destruction began towards the eve, the end of the 9th. Most of the burning of the temple happened on the 10th. So the Talmud says, Rabbi Yochanan says, if I was there when they instituted Tisha B'Av, I'd have protested. I would have said, no, it's got to be on the 10th. That's the day when most of the temple was burned. We should be mourning on the 10th, not on the 9th. He says, if I would have been there, I would have said different. So maybe that's what Rebbe was trying to do here when he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. It doesn't mean to abolish it completely. He can't argue on the previous courts that were bigger than his. It means to uproot it from that day and transfer it. Those are two possible answers that Tosas offers. So far, so good? So now we have the testimonial. And that's the starting point for long discussions now. Amar lefanav Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda heard this quote from Rabbi Elazar, and he said, wait a second. Rabbi lo kachaya maise. Rabbi, that's not what happened. Ela Tisha B'Av shechaliot b'Shabbat hava. But it was Tisha B'Av that fell out on Shabbos. Now we see the connection to our Mishnah. V'dachinuhu lachar Shabbat. So they had to move it over to Sunday, to the 10th. V'amar Rebbe, and Rebbe said to the students in the court, to his fellow rabbis, he said, Hoil v'nidche yidache. You know what? This year we can't do Tisha B'Av. It fell out on Shabbos. So let's not do it all together. That's what Rebbe said. He said, if you can't do Tisha B'Av because it falls out on Shabbos, maybe there should be no Tisha B'Av. Velo dulo, and the rabbis didn't agree. Velo du chachamim. Kari alei. So when Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda corrected Rabbi Elazar said about Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Tovim ashnai min echad. Two are better than one. Thank God you were here. I made a mistake. Thanks to you, I got it right. I thought Rabbi wanted to abolish Tisha B'Av completely. I was wrong. So the question is, what's Tosas talking about? Why did Tosas ask, how could Rebbe abolish Tisha B'Av? What do you mean? The Gemara answers that question, that's not what he meant to do, right? Okay. So now I'm about to teach you a fundamental principle that people don't know. And this is a principle that the Brisker Rav said. It's a principle that goes back, and you'll see it throughout the Talmud. Tosas is discussing, how could the Gemara have had such a havamina? How could the Gemara have entertained the thought that this is what Rebbe did? Meaning Tosas knew that the Gemara doesn't conclude with this understanding of Rebbe's actions. Tosas' discussion revolves around the question, how did the Gemara even entertain the thought that this is what Rebbe did? So the first thing we have to know is that the Gemara doesn't entertain a thought that is ludicrous. And Tosas' claim is that this would be ludicrous. To say that Rebbe uprooted Tisha B'Av, how can you say that? So Tosas answers, no. We thought that it meant either that he wanted to uproot the weightiness of Tisha B'Av or that he wanted to uproot it from the 9th to the 10th, but not that he would uproot Tisha B'Av. That's what Tosas says. So really we could leave it at that. But it's a good opportunity to learn an important concept, and that's the concept that the Brisker Rav taught. When we read a Gemara, and the Gemara begins with one understanding, And then the Gemara says, no, not like that. Like here, the Gemara says, no, Rebbe didn't mean to do that. Rebbe meant to do something else. So there are two possibilities to understand the Gemara. You could say, so the first thing we thought was all wrong. Forget it. It's wrong. No. Just the final thing we said, that's what's right. And then that would be the equivalent of, you had this text written here, and then you say, no, let's erase that, let's fix it. This is what it should say. Then you have to walk away with the question, wait a second. So they did a bad job editing this Talmud. Why do we have to hear the things that are all wrong? Where were the editors of the Talmud? Why didn't they just erase what was wrong and leave us with what's right? Right? So there are answers to that. The Mishnayos already discussed why we quote opinions that aren't halacha. But the Brisker Rav taught something else. He said, when the Gemara says something, you have to imagine a big coin. That's the Gemara's initial understanding. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not like that. It's something else. You have to imagine a coin that's slightly smaller being placed on the bigger coin. That coin that's slightly smaller is the answer. But the bigger coin still has the rims being seen because it's a bigger coin. So too, whenever you have a Gemara, that the Gemara has one understanding, and then the Gemara says, no, it's something else, the Gemara is not really uprooting the initial understanding. It's placing another layer, and there are going to be remnants from that initial understanding. Now, the application of this concept you guys can't understand yet. I'll show it to you as we go along. This concept needs more details, but first let's understand the concept. That means that in today's terminology we could say it's windows. You have a big window, and that's the Gemara's first thought, and then you have a window that's slightly smaller that's covering the screen, but around the edges you could see the big window. By the same token, the Talmud's initial opinion is the big window. Then the Talmud says, no, it didn't mean that, it meant something else. We're not closing that window. We're putting a slightly smaller window on top. Now that's filling the screen. But the remnants, there are remnants from the initial understanding, from the big window. You guys got it? Okay, the applications we'll see. But once we know that Brisker Rav, then Tosfos, we understand why Tosfos is investing so much time to understand this. Okay, so we're going to have to pick up over here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.